This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Happy holidays to all. It's important, as Adam Burke joins me here on this edition of our bowl bonanza, or however you want to call it, to timestamp these, let you know when we're recording these, what games we're talking about. So it is the morning of December 22nd, and we will be talking bowl games December 23rd through December 28th. So that'll be the seven bowl games this Saturday all the way through the Valero Alamo Bowl on December 28th. And, you know, Adam, I got a lot of feedback from our initial pod talking about the early bowl games, really enjoying your breakdowns of who's in and who's out. So get ready, because I think that's the most important part. It's almost bigger than handicapping, is who's playing, who's not playing in these bowl games.
Yeah, and the tough thing is, in some cases, we haven't even known. I mean, you know, I thought it was interesting in last night's bowl game, Syracuse and South Florida, Garrett Schrader had shoulder surgery at the end of the regular season, and like nothing was said about it until about December 18th, when it was like, oh yeah, so he's not going to play, and neither is the backup. So let's see what happens in this game. So we've had some of those too, where it's been, you know, Frank Harris was another one that, yep, like the bowl games are made for dudes like Frank Harris. One last football game, you know, at your age 30 season, and you don't even play in the bowl game. So that's been kind of frustrating here of late, where you feel like you got a good pulse on who's in and who's out, and then all of a sudden you find out that maybe you don't.
Yeah, the UTSA Marshall game was one of those games where I ended up betting UTSA at 7, saying, all right, the market's gone too far. And then Marshall came out and led 14-0. I'm like, well, guess I'm on the wrong side of this. And then UTSA was able to run away and hide. No comeback last night, as you mentioned, in the Boca Raton Bowl as USF. That is your, I'll say this real quickly. Last night's bowl game was your classic, okay, this makes sense. USF wanted to be there. First bowl game in 5 years. Syracuse looked like a team that had fired their coach, looked like a team that was playing a, you know, freshman quarterback. So a lot of bowl season hasn't really made sense. I would say the Boca Raton Bowl kind of made sense, where one team was motivated, one team not, one team, you know, didn't have their top two quarterbacks, one team did, and USF went out and pulverized Syracuse yesterday.
Yeah, and that was a game that was easily over by halftime. And, you know, when you talk about trying to gauge and handicap motivation, a lot of times to me, that means preparedness for the game. That means, you know, being there in film study, paying attention to what your opponent's going to do. Sometimes when you get between the white lines, instinct just takes over. And that'll be something as we go forward here, where you've got, you know, teams that are really, really talented. Syracuse is not a really talented team. If they weren't motivated, they weren't going to overcome that. But there will be teams down the line that will say, I don't think they're super excited to be here. But then their talent will take over later on in the game, and maybe they will be able to flip the switch, or maybe some of those young 4- and 5-star type guys who are getting a chance now will kind of play up to their abilities. So that was one where it was an unmotivated, really not very good and not very talented team. And of course, you throw in the quarterback situation, they had no chance. But there will be some bowl games down the line, not as many that we're talking about here today, but some further down the road, that, you know, it'll be a situation where they won't be motivated. They may come out and be down 2 scores, but then the talent level will take over. So, you know, motivation is something that you want to handicap, but I don't think you want to treat it as the be all end all.
Quick update, programming note, Matt Humans and myself did a New Year's Six and college football playoff podcast. And then Adam and I will get back together next week on December 28th. We'll do all the bowl games from December 29th on. As Adam joked off air, we will spend about 15 minutes on the opt-outs and the Sun Bowl. And then we will also get updated and get Adam's thoughts on the college football playoff as well. So that is your update. Today, we're going to try, and we say this a lot, especially during the football season, to keep it to about 40, 45 minutes, run through it. Know a lot of people are busy this time of year, so let's get to it, Adam. December 23rd has 7 bowl games, and it starts with the 76 Birmingham Bowl. We've got Troy, and we've got Duke, and we've got a pair of teams that had lost their head coaches, as Summerall, the head coach of Troy, has moved on to Tulane, and Duke's head coach Mike Elko has headed on to Texas A&M. Where are we from an opt-out standpoint for a noon Eastern kick on ABC on Saturday?
Well, the opt-outs are very one-sided here in this game, or at least in terms of the transfer portal. Riley Leonard is gone from Duke. Starting running back Jordan Waters is gone. One of their starting corners, Brandon Johnson, who played a ton, also gone. Couple of guys on the defensive line. Another guy at linebacker. So a lot of defensive losses here for Duke, but also they lose their quarterback and their starting running back. For Troy, really their only significant loss is linebacker Jaden McDonald, who did lead the team in tackles, but we saw what Duke looked like without Riley Leonard. We saw what they had at the quarterback position without him. And now you also take away their leading rusher in Waters, who had 753 yards. This is one where I do not expect Duke to move the football against this Troy defense. And I'm not surprised that John Sumrall leveled up. I figured it would be a short time until he did. Gets a pretty good job at Tulane, honestly. So I don't think the Green Wave are going to drop off at all. Discussion for another day. But Greg Gasparato will be the interim head coach, the defensive coordinator for Troy.
Yeah, and we've seen a little bit of movement as we record this back towards Duke as this game has gone at some spots under 7. I really don't have interest in betting a side here.
I think that's just because the total is 44.5. Yeah. I think you're just grabbing over a touchdown with a fairly low scoring expectation.
Yeah, so Troy and Duke in the 76th Birmingham Bowl. One player who hasn't opted out yet, at least I haven't seen, but I would fully anticipate him not to play, is Dewayne Carter, the defensive lineman for Duke. He's got a invite to the Senior Bowl. He'll be a draft pick, so I can't imagine he's going to be playing in this game. So Jaquez Moore is back for Duke. He came out of the portal. Manny Diaz, by the way, the head coach moving forward for Duke. One little note here that I don't know. Kevin Johns, the offensive coordinator for Duke, I don't think he's going to Texas A&M because they hired the Kansas State, Colin Klein, who's, sorry, my brain fart there. So I don't know what Kevin Johns, the offensive coordinator, is going to do, if he's going to stay at Duke, but that's an interesting one there. Moving forward, any thoughts, any other thoughts on the 76 Birmingham Bowl?
No, not really. I mean, obviously all confidence pool picks have already had to be in for the most part, but this is one where I fully expect Troy to win. Now, do they cover the number? That I don't know. So maybe a moneyline parlay loop in or something like that.
All right. Also in that noon Eastern frame on ESPN, we've got the Camellia Bowl at the Crampton Bowl in Montgomery, Alabama. Arkansas State taking on Northern Illinois in a game that if I had to play it, I guess I would go Arkansas State here. You've kind of covered this team a little bit closer than I have. But Arkansas State, certainly after we saw Butch Jones crying and weeping on the sideline, has turned things around. They've got a pretty good quarterback. Northern Illinois, let's get to their opt-outs. A couple of note, including a starting offensive lineman.
Yeah, so for Northern Illinois, Trayvon Rudolph was actually in the portal, wound up coming out of it. That would have been a pretty big loss for them. He's their top wide receiver, but he withdrew from the portal. But they are missing their starting center here, Pete Nigra, who winds up going over to Louisville. And their starting edge, George Gums. So they lost a couple of guys that in the trenches, which that's really important. I know people like to focus on quarterbacks and running backs and wide receivers and this and that, but if you can't block, you can't win. So, these offensive line ones are a pretty big concern here, I would say. And it does look like Arkansas State will probably get their starting center back. He missed the last game of the regular season. Looks like he's going to be able to return for the bowl game, Jacob Beyer. So I think Arkansas State has some advantages here. The problem is the Sun Belt's been awful in bowl games here so far. They've been really bad. And I gave them a lot of credit on the first podcast that we did because 12 of the 14 teams in that conference made it to 6 wins to get to a bowl, but they have not looked good in the bowl season here, especially playing some MAC opponents. So I'm a little bit concerned about Arkansas State in that regard, where maybe this conference just wasn't all that good, and that's why 12 teams got to a bowl, because everybody just kind of beat everybody else. But Jalen Rayner is a really, really good quarterback. But Northern Illinois, when Rocky Lombardi's been healthy, he's been pretty good, and this offense has been pretty good. They can run the ball. Arkansas State can't really stop the run. With the with a pretty decent weather forecast here in Montgomery, I actually like this game over the total. Played over 53.5. I think it's still okay at 54.5.
All right, there we go. We got a bet there on that one. I have a bet on this next game, 3:30 Eastern, the Armed Forces Bowl. So we played in Fort Worth, Texas. We've got James Madison against a military institution, Air Force. The Falcons certainly, might have to make you earmuff it a little bit. They have disappointed many as they started 8-0 and got to 8-4, so they did not go over their win total. But this has been a bowl game in which a service academy has actually won this bowl game in four of the last six occurrences of this bowl game. 2017, Army beat San Diego State. 2018, Army beat Houston. 2021, Army beat Missouri. And then last year, Air Force smoked Baylor. Fascinating one here. When you have James Madison, Kirk Cignetti, the head coach, has left, as well as their offensive coordinator, their defensive coordinator, their quarterback coach, all going to Indiana. The offensive line coach has taken over. He will be the acting head coach. I believe he has been retained by the incoming coach, JMU. So this is one of those tricky ones where we've got a ton of guys in the portal, but who is playing and who is not, Adam, for James Madison?
Truth be told, I don't really know. I mean, The expectation is that a lot of these guys that are in the portal are still going to play, specifically starting with quarterback Jordan McLeod. I mean, he needs to be out there for them. He's definitely been the guy that has stirred the drink for this offense. There are a ton of guys in the portal. And, you know, James Madison, a team that we talked about all season long with how much of a travesty it was that they weren't guaranteed a spot in a bowl game. They wind up getting the one. It does feel like, you know, this may be one of those circle the wagons games for this team where everybody's playing together for the final time and they come out and really show out. And, you know, I don't mind when an offensive line coach or something like that becomes the interim head coach, because those are typically really fiery dudes. Like, this is one where ESPN will be in the locker room before the game and you may see a clip of this pregame speech type of deal. So I think James Madison will be very much amped to play. I think these guys will play for each other, given everything that they've gone through kind of through this transitional phase and all of that. At the same time, I mean, Air Force is a team that kind of fits, I don't want to call it a system, but sort of a mindset that people have of a team that had higher expectations or higher goals or something like that, didn't reach them, didn't play well. Sometimes they're capable of wiping the slate clean and going out there and playing a really, really good game. So this is a very difficult handicap for me. I don't have a play in this one, but the line movement is definitely trending towards the Air Force side.
Yeah, it's right now as we sit here, 1.5 at DraftKings in favor of James Madison, 2 at Circa, 1 at some other spots. I played Air Force here earlier this week, took the 2.5, still would play at anything, you know, where you're getting plus money on the money line. I mean, not a massive play, but I do think if Zach Larrier returns, which has been trending in that direction, the quarterback for Air Force. And then while I agree, this does feel like it is a, you know, let's play one last time before we bid farewell situation, I would much rather them play a team that doesn't run a triple option offense where it's your last game, you're all in the portal, and now you're getting blocked, you know, at your shins by this Air Force team. So I just think there might be a point where they're like, all right, we had fun. We had a hell of a year. Let's get the hell out of here. So service academies, I don't know the ATS number off the top of my head, but it's really profitable in these bowl games and bowl games over the years. So I'm going to take Air Force. Anything with a plus sign on the money line, if you want to take the +2, you can go that route as well. But I like the Falcons here to get a win to wrap up the regular season.
And real quick, too, if you like a dog in a bowl game, you got to sprinkle the money line too, because these games have a little bit higher of a degree of variance. Because again, you know, you have varying motivations in these games, and also the portal, you know, definitely has a significant impact. So if you like a dog plus the points, you know, 80-20, 75-25, whatever you want to do with your bet split, you know, make sure you sprinkle the money line if you like a dog.
All right, the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. We've seen a little bit of line movement back towards Georgia State here. Utah State is a slight 1-point favorite. They were up at 2.5 earlier this week. Georgia State opened as the favorite in this game. This will be 3:30 Eastern on ESPN. Georgia State, once again, was -3 back on December 4th. and now they are an underdog, but they were catching 2.5 earlier this week. Georgia State's dealing with a bunch of opt-outs in this game as well.
Yeah, a lot of guys in the portal here, specifically their star running back and their top wide receiver. So Marcus Carroll commits to Missouri. That's a really, really good get for Eli Drinkwitz up there. Carroll, 7th in the country in rushing yards, 1,350, also 13 touchdowns for him. And then Robert Lewis, their top wide receiver, 70 balls for 877 yards, 7 touchdowns. They also lost some guys on the offensive line, too. Montavious Cunningham, their starting right tackle, he goes over to Virginia Tech. They also lose their starting corner, Bryquise Brown, who's over at Boston College now. Only one really significant transfer portal move for Utah State, safety Devin Dye. I think he's at Kansas now, I want to say. Led the team in pass breakups. But, look, I mean, this is exactly the kind of game that we're looking at now in present-day bowl season, where Georgia State's probably the better team. Again, as I mentioned, the Sun Belt has struggled in the bowl season. But missing Carroll, who means so much to this offense, I actually wrote this preview up. I think the next guy on the depth chart for Georgia State has like 35 carries for 61 yards outside of quarterback Darren Granger. So this is all going to be on the shoulders of Granger. This will be, I believe, his final college football game. I think his eligibility is gone. So Georgia State may rally for him. He's a legit, true dual threat guy, but he's going to have to do everything for them in this game. Utah State very excited to be there, especially with how they, you know, kind of clinched a spot in the bowl season. Also, they're familiar with Boise. They're familiar with the Smurf turf. Georgia State going and playing a cold weather game here, which is not optimal. When you talk about bowl games, you want to go to Hawaii or you want to go to the Bahamas or Florida. Well, they're going to Boise, Idaho. Nothing against Boise, Idaho. Not a place I'd want to be in December. So I lean a little bit towards Utah State in this game, and also their quarterback, Levi Williams. I was expected to get the start here. Will leave for Navy SEAL training after the game. So I lean towards Utah State, but not a strong opinion for me.
Yeah, and how about the fun fact that Levi Williams, I believe, let me double check this. I believe he was the MVP of this bowl game 2 years ago when for he Wyoming. Was at Wyoming.
Yeah.
So yeah, cool story there. Levi Williams leaving to go train for the Navy SEALs. I'm going to read you off the teams that Utah State has beaten this year, and you tell me what they have in common. Idaho State, UConn, Colorado State, San Diego State, Nevada, and New Mexico. Do you know what they have in common?
Well, they're all not very good, and they all missed a bowl.
There you go. No teams that they're playing have won a bowl or in a bowl game this year. No teams that they beat, I should say. But yeah, I would lean towards Utah State here. If you would like to know this, some people like this type of information. Our friend Brad Powers, when he joined VSiN Primetime earlier this week, his play of this little chunk of games was Utah State. So there you go. Brad is on the Aggies here. I do think the travel, certainly a massive advantage for the Aggies in this one. I took a little money line nibble on Utah State, which actually I paid a bad price because I bought it at 140 and it's now 125. So DraftKings is actually minus 118 if you want to go that route on Utah State. All right, one of the biggest bowl spreads of this season will take place on Saturday evening at the 68 Ventures Bowl, as South Alabama, playing at their on their home field, will play Eastern Michigan. And as of right now, the Jaguars of USA are 17-point favorites against Eastern Michigan. What are we looking like opt-outs wise? And I've heard this said many times as I've done prep for this bowl season. Eastern Michigan, by far the worst team in bowl season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, let me pull this up. I don't know why I didn't have it open. Eastern Michigan's like a bottom 10 power rated team for me heading into the bowl season.
How
here.
They win six games.
Because Chris Creighton's a miracle worker.
That's true.
That's the only thing that I can think of.
Jeff Sagarin, I'm looking at it right now, which incorporates FCS and FBS rankings, and I know you use Sagarin a lot, has Eastern Michigan 130.
Yeah, they're number 130 for me. Well, 129. They're better than Florida International, Akron, UTEP, and Kent State. So those are the teams that I have power rated below Eastern Michigan. And to that end, I mean, South Alabama is missing an NFL wide receiver in Colin Lacey. And that's a guy that's 5th in the nation in receptions, 6th in the nation in receiving yards. Running back LaDainian Webb, Damian Webb, excuse me, not going to play due to a toe injury, but he was opting out of this bowl game anyway. Over 1,000 rushing yards, 16 touchdowns. Those two guys are out. So their top two skill position guys are out. Their quarterback is hurt, Carter Bradley. He hasn't been practicing in full throughout the prep period. And the line went up. So that gives you an idea of where Eastern Michigan stands in this game. I couldn't bet this game. I think this is the ugliest by far of the bowl games. But again, you've got significant absences for the Jags, and the line went up. So we'll see. But quarterback Austin Smith for Eastern Michigan, he's in the portal. So that's another reason why this line went up.
Yeah. I'm not going to recommend anyone lay 17 and a half, but South Alabama, this is a hot take here, is going to win. They are playing at home. They have yet to win a bowl game in their school's history. So I think they kind of pushed for playing on their home field here. I think they will take care of business. I would certainly lay it before taking it, even as crazy as that sounds, as someone who usually bets dogs much more than favorites. All right. Speaking of dogs that I'm looking to bet, we've seen a line movement here. We have the lone Power 5 versus Power 5 showdown on Saturday, December 21st. That is the Las Vegas Bowl here in our backyard. I will be on the sidelines for this one, as will our colleague Stormy Bonatoni. She'll be on the ABC telecast with Sean McDonough and Greg McElroy. Big time there for Stormy. The SRS Distribution Las Vegas Bowl, 7:30 Eastern on ABC. Famous Northwestern alum, Brent Musburger, might have heard of him. I believe he will be in attendance as well, as will our own Bill Ady will be there too. So a lot of the big shots going to be at this one. The line has moved under the key of 7 and continues to trend a little bit towards Northwestern in this one. What do we have from an opt-out point of view here for the Utes?
Yeah, a little messy here for Utah. Quarterback Bryson Barnes and quarterback Nate Johnson both in the portal, but Barnes is going to play in the bowl game.
The pig farmer.
Yes, the pig farmer. Couple of injury situations for Utah as well. Some guys on the defensive side. Both of their starting safeties have opted out of the game. Also, one of their starting wide receivers, Devon Vele, or however you pronounce it. Not smaller of an impact here for Northwestern. Their starting left guard is in the portal. But other than that, Northwestern seems to be pretty intact here. And, I mean, this is a team that they rallied from the jump this year with everything that went on with Pat Fitzgerald. David Braun comes in as a first-year defensive coordinator, gets shoved into the interim head coach role, and then actually does well enough to get the job full-time. So this Northwestern team has been really impressive with how they've handled everything throughout the course of the season here. This is another one, high spread, low total, so I'm not really surprised to see this line coming down. I do think Utah will have a home field advantage in this game because they'll travel well from Salt Lake City. So that was something that I incorporated into my raw number for the game. But for Northwestern, I mean, they battle, you know, they play really feisty football. They were a really good second half team early on in the season. I think the depth kind of showed a little bit later on in the year. But for me, it would be taking the points or nothing here with Northwestern because Utah doesn't strike me as a runaway and hide type of team. And again, while they'll have a pretty decent crowd edge, this is not the bowl game that you want to play in when you're Utah. Looking at the start of the season, you don't want a bowl on December 23rd. You kind of expect to be in some of those higher level discussions. I mean, what was it? 2 years ago, they played in the Rose Bowl. So this is not a team that wants to come to Vegas and play. They want a higher profile bowl game. Here they are. So we'll see if they come out a little bit sluggish. But to me, I think with the low scoring expectation, Northwestern plus 6.5 is a decent head start.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, I'll echo a lot of it. By the way, they did lose to Northwestern in the Holiday Bowl back in December of 2018. Northwestern won that game 31-20. So Kyle Whittingham has lost 4 straight bowls, so he's probably going to ratchet that up. But, you know, let's be honest. I mean, Utah is used to coming to Vegas to play in the Pac-12 championship, something they have done and won the last 2 years. So I'll be curious to see how many Utah fans do make the trek to Las Vegas on Saturday. I do think they'll have an edge, but I don't think this is going to be like the Vegas Bowl, or excuse me, like the Pac-12 championship. And to your point, Adam, they've played in the Rose Bowl the last 2 years against Ohio State and Penn State. And now they're playing, no offense, Northwestern in the Las Vegas Bowl. So there's no doubt the motivation is on the side of Northwestern. I got this from the game notes of Northwestern. Northwestern had the biggest turnaround from 2022 to 2023 in all of FBS, a 6-win turnaround from 1-11 to 7-5. Really, I mean, you talked about Chris Creighton being a miracle worker. David Braun, now I know that they were, I think, plus 29 in turnover margin. So obviously a massive advantage there. But I like the dog here. It's under. I didn't get the good number. So, you know, as you could always look at these things live, whatnot. But I think Northwestern, clearly the motivation is on their side. The team's fully intact. And Ben Bryant has actually been playing some pretty good football down the stretch here. The once North Cincinnati, then Eastern Michigan, then Cincinnati transfer. I think Northwestern's got a chance to be live in this game on Saturday night.
Yeah, Northwestern plus 10 in turnover margin. Only 9 giveaways for them. Only 1 fumble lost. So I don't know. Maybe we'll see if their fumble luck kind of normalizes a little bit here. I know that we're up against a little bit of a time crunch here, but I do want to ask you, we widely regard Kyle Whittingham as a top 5, definitely top 10 type of head coach in college football. Why have they struggled in the bowl season? Is it just the opponents that they've played, or is he just maybe out sleuthing a lot of Pac-12 head coaches to get that, you know, perception and reputation?
By the way, I just I'm not avoiding your question. I had plus 29 in my head for something. I'm not crazy. Plus 10 in turnover margin, an improvement of plus 29 from last year. They were minus 19 last year, so that's where the 29 was. I wasn't making that number up. That's a great question. I would say it's partly because of the opponent. And last year, Cam Rising tore his ACL in this game. In the bowl game, I should say, right, against Penn State. So they lost their quarterback against Penn State. And then if you remember 2 years ago, that was the C.J. Stroud kind of coming out party, right? Didn't he?
That was a Jackson Smith and Jigba coming out party, like 3:45 or something like that.
Insane. So, yeah, I mean, and in this day and age, it feels like, you know, bowl games, can you really knock coaches for not being all that, you know, ready to go in bowl games? But I give Kyle Whittingham more credit for, you know, if you look at recruiting rankings and then the success that they've had and the fact that they've won the Pac-12 the last 2 years, especially, you know, last year when they were playing a USC team with the soon-to-be Heisman Trophy winner and they were able to run away and hide in that one. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I'm curious the atmosphere there. I think Northwestern, like I mentioned, is going to be very excited to be in this bowl game, and I'm excited to be there too. So we will see it. Northwestern and Utah. One final game before we take a quick break here on December 23rd. It's a travesty. This game is not on Christmas Eve. It's ridiculous, outrageous, but we have to play it anyways. The Easy Post Hawaii Bowl, Coastal Carolina and San Jose State. When Matt Newmans and I got together right after these bowls were announced, one of my first bets was San Jose State. I laid 8.5. Excuse me. Which I was hoping to get better than that. And it got up to 10.5, felt good. And now we're seeing some shops come back down. So some Coastal Carolina starting to hit the market a little bit here. Coastal Carolina will be starting their third string quarterback, Ethan Vasco, who did get some run this year. But what other opt-outs are we looking at here for the Chanticleers?
I'll say this. I don't know how motivated Coastal Carolina is, but based on the picture that was circulating earlier in the week, I think Tim Beck is pretty happy to be there in Hawaii. Yeah, so Grayson McCall, he's now at NC State. Jarrett Guest has also transferred out. So two quarterbacks have moved on. Vasco, as you mentioned, is a guy who is staying. Also, Jared Brown, starting wide receiver. CJ Beasley was actually their leading rusher, I believe, last year, maybe 2 years ago, too. He didn't play a ton this year, kind of seemed to lose some reps and some touches, but he's out. They're also missing a starting linebacker here as well. For San Jose State, their top left tackle, he's gone, Fernando Carmona, and then their starting tight end, Dominic Mazzotti, who I can just only assume will wind up playing for the Giants and playing with Tommy DeVito at some point. But, you know, the opt-out situation or transfer portal situation, much worse for Coastal Carolina than it is for San Jose State here. San Jose State, you know, there was that clip that you and I kind of talked about off-air of the Spartans being thrilled to get this bowl assignment, understandably so. Look, Coastal's in Myrtle Beach, and Myrtle Beach is cool, and it's definitely a popular East Coast destination, but it ain't Hawaii. So I think San Jose State will be a lot more focused for this bowl game.
Chevin Cordero is Hawaiian, started his collegiate career at Hawaii. He will wrap up his career there as well. Coastal Carolina, kind of a tough nut to crack. By the way, I just want to go back to Ethan Vasco. We've seen a lot of third-string quarterbacks who have taken maybe like two snaps get thrust into action. He's played a bunch this year. He rushed for 170 yards against Old Dominion earlier this year in a Coastal Carolina victory. So he's going to be running a lot, no doubt. So San Jose State could have their hands full in that regard. As I mentioned, I laid it with San Jose State. I think this is a team that was hitting its stride, won their last five games after starting 1-5. Actually, I think they won their last six games. They were certainly upset about the fact that they did not make the Mountain West Championship. And, you know, it was interesting. I heard Stuckey talking about this on his podcast. And he was talking about, you know, will they be motivated? I think as we're trying to play, you know, amateur psychologist here, some people think, all right, Mountain West, they got snubbed by the Mountain West. They're not happy to be there. They were just at Hawaii. I think it's the opposite. I think they're trying to prove a point that they should have been there. So we'll see on December 23rd that evening who takes care of business. But I think San Jose State's going to be pretty fired up to be there. And as you mentioned, very minimal opt-outs for this game for San Jose State, as it seems like they want to wrap up the year with an emphatic victory.
Well, and speaking of going back to where you started, you know, Chevin Cordero, as you mentioned, but also Brent Brennan got his first college coaching job there at Hawaii. He was a graduate assistant and wide receivers coach. So kind of coming full circle for him a little bit as well.
Yeah. And Brent Brennan, friend of the network, joined VSiN primetime during Mountain West media days, was seen at, I believe, the Hawaii Bowl press conference wearing a Colt Brennan jersey. So rest in peace to Colt Brennan, and you know, well done by Brent Brennan there to honor a Hawaii legend. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll take a look at the December 26th slate, which includes a fascinating game down in Phoenix, Arizona.
Sports Betting Innovative Analytics has taken the guesswork and emotion out of sports betting to bring you an innovative and trustworthy resource to enhance your journey to becoming a winning player. With industry-leading money-back guarantee options backed by their sophisticated modeling, they want to introduce you to a system that's not widely seen or available to help you beat the bookmaker. Specializing in NBA, college basketball, and WNBA, your first week is always free. Get started at SBIA1.com today.
All right, we're back. It is the College Football Betting Podcast. Adam Burke there. I am Tim Murray. Once again, programming note, Adam and I will reconvene on December 28th to take a look at bowl games from December 29th through New Year's Day, including the playoff and the New Year's Six. So a lot to get to. We are hitting the bowls through December 28th here. Three games on December 26th, Adam, including the Quick Lane Bowl, where our only under 500 team, Minnesota, will be playing Bowling Green. And apparently, one of the more unique stories out there is that the quarterback for Minnesota, Cole Kramer, according to reports, I don't know if it has been official, did not want to play in this game and reportedly was given $30,000 in NIL money, which we will use to pay for his wedding. So Cole Kramer, that is a story that's circulating there for Minnesota. They also lost their defensive coordinator, Joe Rossi. Where are we looking at for opt-outs in this one?
Well, I'm surprised Cole Kramer is not opting out, but I guess $30,000 talks when you talk about playing in the Quick Lane Bowl. He would have been about the only guy to start this game for Minnesota. Their backup, Drew Vioto, he transferred out. Ethan Kaliakmanis is gone as well. Look, we can save time on this game. This game's bad. I mean, the people who say there are too many bowl games can point to this one. For Bowling Green, if Terrion Stewart isn't able to come back, their star running back, their offense is even worse. Minnesota lost defense coordinator Joe Rossi as well, who's probably the best coach on that staff. No offense, PJ Fleck. So, yeah, this one's ugly. I haven't even given this game the time of day, and I don't think that I will on Tuesday either.
By the way, Cole Kramer apparently squashed the rumor. I just want it to be true, so I'm assuming it's true. 3.5-point spread, by the way, in this one, Bowling Green.
Is $30,000 enough to get married nowadays?
I don't know. It was enough for me, I guess, so
That was a few years ago.
It was 11 years ago. So
yeah, inflation now.
3.5 is the spread. Total of 40 in this one at Ford Field on December 26th. Later in the day after Christmas, we got Texas State against Rice. The Bobcats are a 5.5-point favorite in this one. Their first bowl game in school history, as they celebrated by jumping in some sort of river or lake. I don't know what it was, but they, no doubt, I'm sure will be excited to be there. And I'm sure Rice will be too. They've got some injuries though at the quarterback position, as JT Daniels has ended his collegiate career after a decade. So JT Daniels will not be playing in this one for Rice. Pretty minimal on the opt-outs, right?
Yeah, not a whole lot here for either side in this game. And Daniels, you know, hadn't really been playing a whole lot in the second half of the year anyway. He was kind of battling injuries throughout. I guess the big news here is that Texas State locked up G.J. Kinney, which it's pretty easy to get out of these things if you're a head coach. So his five-year contract, he may only last 1 or 2 years down there in San Marcos. But Texas State, I mean, this game should be fun at least. I mean, Texas State can light it up, and I think Kinney's going to want to do exactly that here in this bowl game. And you can move the football on Rice, where their offense is kind of hit or miss. So I don't really have a strong opinion on this game with Texas State laying 5.5 or 6, just because honestly, it's really not a situation that they're in very often, but I think they will be sufficiently motivated. I'm not entirely sure that Rice will be. I know you mentioned they're not a regular participant in the bowl season, but for Texas State, I mean, a chance to make a statement and capitalize on what was a really good year for them. This is one where I'd lean towards laying the number.
Yeah, I would lean that way as well. You mentioned Bowling Green, and Minnesota is one of the reasons why those people who, I don't know, maybe they don't like puppies or something like that, said there's too many bowl games. Well, this game is the reason why there's bowl games. I am excited to watch this one. The Guaranteed Rate Bowl in Phoenix, 9 o'clock Eastern, Tuesday, December 26th, ESPN. Stormy on the sidelines for it as well, which just gives us an extra incentive to watch our colleague there. We've got Kansas. We've got UNLV. We've got a total on the climb to 66, a spread of 13, not too many opt-outs. Also, Jaden Maeva someone tried to report that he was in the portal, and then our own JVT said, no, that is not true. You are lying. Maeva expected to play in this one for UNLV. So fun one. Anything you're looking to bet in Kansas UNLV?
Well, I think Barry Odom's a really good head coach. So, I mean, we're kind of getting to the point now where 13 feels like a lot here in this game for UNLV. Now, I know that defensively they do have some concerns, and this is a game where the scoreboard should absolutely light up. 13 feels like a lot. I mean, Kansas's defense isn't spectacular either. You know, Jalen Daniels is not going to play. It'll be Jason Bean who gets to start in this one for Kansas. So maybe that lowers their ceiling a little bit, but I don't know. 13 feels a little steep to me.
Yeah, I would agree. I want to play this game over. I'm not a big over player, but just sitting back on a night after Christmas, you've got all your new toys under the tree, and watching some points be scored there in a fast track in Phoenix sounds enjoyable to me. All right, we'll sneak in a couple December 27th games before we take a break. Speaking of opt-outs, whoo, buddy. Military Bowl. They're in Annapolis, Maryland. 2 p.m. Eastern kick on December 27th. We've got Virginia Tech. You would think, oh, the Power 5 team is the one with the opt-outs. No. The Group of 5 team has the opt-outs in this one because they're playing Tulane. Adam, go ahead on the opt-outs for the Green Wave.
Yeah, a lot of them here. A whole lot of them, and also a lot of significant starters for them. Starting wide receiver Chris Brazell, he's out. DJ Douglas, their starting safety. Two of their starting edges, Deal and Cooper, are both going to be out here as well. So for Tulane, mass exodus. Also, their starting tight end, Alex Bauman, who, you know, tight ends are kind of valuable for some of these teams, and he is a guy for Tulane who definitely was part of the equation throughout the course of the season. Tied for second in receptions and tied for second in receiving touchdowns. So they don't have a whole lot of pass catchers here right now at Tulane. I think a lot of people are kind of surprised that Michael Pratt is still there. And this might be one of those bowl games where we get to the day of the bowl and all of a sudden Pratt's not playing.
He ain't
playing.
I wouldn't
expect him to. So that's something to keep in mind. And honestly, this line kind of tells you that with the line up to Virginia Tech now minus 10.5. Maybe that news is already broken.
I think he already opted out.
Did he?
I think he opted out.
Dude, it's a second full-time job trying to keep track of who's in these games and who isn't.
No one is knocking you on that, man. You're doing the Lord's work on this one. But
December 17th, he opted out.
Yeah,
he opted out. So that's why we're up to 11.5.
Yeah, and it's funny because I thought it was baked in to the line already, because who thought Michael Pratt would play? He's going to the Senior Bowl, and then he opted out and went out to 11. So it is a massive spread. Brent Pry and company no doubt will be motivated, but I can't lay 11 with Virginia Tech. But Tulane might not score a point. It's gonna be ugly. They did get a nice head coach, Summerall, as you mentioned, from Troy, as Willie Fritz heads off to Houston here.
Well, their backup quarterback, Kai Horton, also transferred out. Yeah. So I don't know who's playing quarterback for Tulane.
Yeah, maybe they'll pay $30,000 to someone to pay for their wedding, too. One more quick one before we hit a break here and wrap this up. We got West Virginia and North Carolina in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. Will it be Neil Brown, or will it be who will be getting the dump of or will it be Mac Brown, excuse me, who will be getting the dump of Mayo there on their heads? It seems like the point spread would indicate it will be Neil Brown of West Virginia, as they are a 6.5-point favorite. Another situation where plenty of opt-outs, especially for North Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, the big one, Drake May, expected to be a top-5 pick here in the upcoming NFL draft. Not only was he very effective as a passer, but he was also second on the team in rushing attempts, yards, and touchdowns. So big loss there. And of course, there was the whole thing with Tez Walker and his eligibility coming into the season. That was a whole soap opera, as the NCAA likes to do. He led the team in receptions, receiving yards, and touchdowns. He's also opted out for this bowl game. And then Corey Gaynor, starting center for North Carolina, and a couple of defensive players going to the draft. They have some guys that are hurt as well. This is just a shell of the North Carolina team that we saw this season. And frankly, they weren't really as good as I expected them to be either, with all these guys. I mean, they're going to have, four or five guys that probably get drafted in the first 2 days, and they still were an underwhelming team. So, again, one of the things about bowl season, you look for things to get excited about. I don't think going from Chapel Hill to Charlotte to play at Bank of America Stadium is all that exciting for North Carolina. West Virginia is not a great team, but this is one where the motivation edge, I think, is on their side, and maybe the personnel edge as well.
All right, we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll run through the remaining games on December 27th and December 28th. All right, wrapping things up here as we run through a handful of other bowl games. Two more on December 27th. We've got Louisville against Southern Cal. As we talk about opt-outs, that's at Petco Park. That's the Holiday Bowl. And then Texas A&M against Oklahoma State, 9:00 Eastern, ESPN. That one is the Tax Act Texas Bowl. Run through the opt-outs, because there are lots in both of these two games.
Yeah, lots in both of these games. Starting with Louisville, they're starting running back Jordan. Led the team in carries, rushing yards, rush touchdowns. He had 13 rushing scores, over 1,100 rushing yards. He's gone. They're starting wide receiver Thrash, 63 catches, 858 yards, 6 touchdowns. He led the team in all 3 receiving categories. He's gone as well. But, on the USC side, I mean, as we all expected, the lock of the century, Caleb Williams, is not playing in the Holiday Bowl. Marshawn Lloyd also opting out, their starting running back. And one of their top receivers, Brendan Rice, 12 receiving touchdowns. That was 6 more than anybody else on the team. So those are just the big names for USC, but a lot of other guys in the portal here as well.
Yeah. No bet for me in the Holiday Bowl, as we look at the point spread in this one. It continues to climb out to 8 for Louisville. And then I actually did take a little Oklahoma State here against Texas A&M. Mike Gundy in a bowl game, it feels like they'll be ready to go. Texas A&M, obviously a transition situation there. As Jimbo Fisher was fired, Bobby Petrino left to go to Arkansas. We know Mike Elko's coming in and bringing Colin Klein, but they're not going to be worried about this bowl game. Tons and tons of players opting out or hitting the transfer portal there. Oklahoma State, for the most part, is relatively clean. The question I do have is Ollie Gordon. Will he play? But I took a little nibble on Oklahoma State as a slight dog here against Texas A&M in the Texas Bowl.
Yeah, Texas A&M, Jalen Henderson's going to get the start for them because Max Johnson's in the portal and Connor Wegman's been out for the season. Henderson is a guy who's bounced around quite a bit, but he's a big-bodied kid, was a fairly, you know, touted recruit. So maybe he kind of shines a little bit, maybe a little bit of a dual threat role here, but he has nobody to throw the football to because the top wide receivers for Texas A&M, Anias Smith, Evan Stewart, both out of this game. Bunch of opt-outs on defense, guys either in the portal or going to the NFL for Texas A&M. This is one of those games where you look at this list of opt-outs and you look at the talent that these guys had and, you know, their recruiting levels and all that, and you just wonder how Jimbo couldn't make it work here in College Station because there's a lot of talent in this program, and now we'll see if Mike Elko can extract the most value out of it.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Texas A&M opens up next year against Notre Dame in College Station. It's going to be an interesting one as we sit here on December 22nd. Notre Dame just pulled Mike Denbrock from LSU to be their offensive coordinator. So that is the latest in that on that front. All right, December 28th is what we'll wrap, and we'll see if we could do this in a couple minutes because I got to run and do a radio hit. SMU. I'm curious their motivation for this one is they're playing in the Fenway Bowl against Boston College. I don't think Boston College is very good. We get to the opt-outs, but this is a team that should feel like they got screwed when it came to the New Year's Six selection. The committee said, well, you know, we care about you know, how you're playing now as opposed to what you've done and what your record states. Well, SMU then should be ahead of Liberty, but they don't obviously care about who represents the group of five. So SMU playing in the Fenway Bowl as opposed to the Fiesta Bowl. What do you got in this one? Is SMU a 10-point favorite?
Yeah, look, I mean, I kind of liked SMU when the bowl stuff came out because I'm like, you know what? This team's going to kind of rally and be pissed off and take it out on somebody. But the weather doesn't look great at Fenway Park here for this game. And that concerns me a little bit because SMU wants to throw the football. Kevin Jennings will get the start. Preston Stone, of course, out for the year after suffering the gruesome leg injury. No opt-outs of consequence really either way here in this game, largely because Boston College doesn't have anyone good enough to opt out of this game. So you know, I liked SMU at first, but now with the weather, I'm a little bit concerned here. Jeff Hafley, a guy who was very much on the hot seat, maybe saved his job by going to a bowl game here. But I'd lean SMU, but nothing more than a lean for me.
I do have a bet on this next game, and now that the line has moved, I still would maybe do a little pizza bet if you get a little plus money on the money line. It's the Pinstripe Bowl, Rutgers and Maryland. Come on now. Miami, cold weather. We know we've learned our lesson here. There ain't no chance they want to be at Yankee Stadium. Rutgers lost their last four games of the season, but I played Rutgers on the first podcast plus the four. Still, anything with a plus sign by it, I would run that way. So Rutgers and Miami.
Tons of opt-outs and portal guys on the Miami side. Tyler Van Dyke, he's going to Wisconsin to follow in the footsteps of Tanner Mordecai and probably be an underwhelming transfer up there in Madison. Colby Young, wide receiver, is out. Bunch of dudes on defense for Miami. They got some NFL caliber talent on defense not playing in this bowl game. Man, I think the backups, though, at Miami are going to be way more talented than the dudes who start at Rutgers. So I understand the thought process. I understand there's zero motivation for Miami. Rutgers playing fairly close to home in the Bronx. I couldn't bet it, but I don't know. Maybe somebody surprises on the Miami side.
All right. This is live podcasting on the fly. I've got to do a radio hit here. So let's lump the Pop-Tarts Bowl and the Alamo Bowl together. What do you got? Our final analysis on these two bowl games on December 29th.
Which is a bummer because these are two of the better bowl games, at least, you know, you kind of thought so on paper. But, man, Kansas State, the portal's hitting them hard. Will Howard, Treshawn Ward, their starting running back, bunch of dudes on defense. Two of their top pass catchers opting out of this bowl game as well, Phillip Brooks and tight end Ben Sennett. So as much as I would have liked Kansas State and wanted to take Chris Klieman here, a little bit of pause because of who's missing. But Avery Johnson was the future of this program anyway. So I like Kansas State a lot under a field goal. I think it's an easy play for me to make. And then Arizona, Oklahoma. Arizona, one of the most surprising teams this season. Oklahoma, what is Jackson Arnold going to bring to the table? Now we get to find out because he's the future of that Sooners program. Maybe over in the Alamo Dome, but of those two games, Kansas State minus 2.5 is pretty clearly my favorite play.
Yeah, I can't wait for Arizona, Oklahoma. Another late night good one. Alamo Bowl, that year after year has given us some fun games. And to your point, Jackson Arnold getting the start, Dylan Gabriel opting out. He's headed to Oregon. I think that's going to be a huge and a lot of fun game. So hopefully the 26th and the 28th bring us some exciting games to close out the evenings. All right, we will be back next week, Thursday, December 28th, to preview all of the bowl games from the 29th on, including the New Year's Six. We'll get Adam's thoughts on that and also the college football playoff, of course. We will also have a podcast to preview the championship at some point, so stick to this feed and we will let you know. Another podcast coming out Christmas Day, myself and Matt Humans previewing the college football playoff and the New Year's Six. All right, that's going to do it for this podcast. Please rate, review, and subscribe. If you want to follow Adam on Twitter, at Skating Tripods, I'm at one Tim Murray. This has been the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.